This is Tall Boy Radio. Each week, your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, grab a beer and discuss our topic of the week. We try to keep things uncomplicated. The premise for this podcast is as simple as we are. Not only can you listen to us wherever good podcasts are found, you can also watch us. Just search Tall Boy Radio on YouTube. If you have a story and want to feature on the show, drop us an email at tbrpodcast@hotmail.com or leave us a comment on social media at Tallboy Radio on Twitter and Facebook and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram, or leave us a message via the Anchor app, which we can play on the show. This is a Beans Does Stuff production. Anyway, the show is about to start, so go grab yourself a cold one, sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to episode 47 of TBR. And if you recognise the voice, it's me, it's Gaz. I'm in the driver's seat again this week. So before I introduce the topic and we get cracking, we're joined by our two usual hosts. So, Ad, do you want to tell everybody what you're drinking and say a quick hello?
Yeah, cheers, hello. And, well, this week I've picked up, I always talk about Titanic as one of my favourite beers, so I thought I'd, you know, share the love. I've got a different local brewery, Limestone Brewery. So it's in Stone in Staffordshire. It's not too far away. And I'm still going to read the bottle to it because I've been looking at this all day and getting it wrong. Abdominal Stone Man. I think that's right. Yeah. So I know Andy's tried a couple of these before. We've chatted about this brewery before. I've never tried them. Never tried them before. But when it says 7%, I thought, I'll give that a go.
There you go. Absolutely. And why not? Andy, what about yourself?
Hello. I'm on a Devel Triple Hop.
Yay. Nice.
Out of a TBR glass.
Is that nice. What it says?
It's a small tea.
What it actually should say is that, which is the actual TBR merch. That's what it should say. And for those of you that couldn't recognise the make of beer, I got a bit jealous of Ken and Andy over the last couple of weeks, so I'm now on the left again, which I haven't had for a while on the podcast, so I'm looking forward to that. Right, just before we get going then, guys, any shout-outs in particular for anybody else or anybody that you want to mention?
The only one I'd shout, obviously, not so much a person or people, but I would say people. Thank you very much to the people of Poland. Is it 7 weeks now? Yep. So we are at number 40 in the documentary charts on Apple. But better than that, sorry, Bond, just as good as that, I should say, we are number 162 in the UK charts now, which is, I think, phenomenal. Bear in mind, we peaked at 141. So thank you, everybody who listens to us and downloads. Well, even if you download and don't listen, that's fine. We still get the stats. Yeah, it's great. So thank you very much.
No, absolutely. I'd completely echo that. Andy, anybody in particular?
No, it's usual. You caught me unprepared then.
Just for a change.
Yeah, like it's any different any other week. Just the usual guys on social media, and obviously we try and retweet as much as we can of theirs, and they try and retweet as much as ours. So if you do retweet us, thank you very much. Keep sharing the love, and obviously we'll do the same. Right, this week, hopefully, a slightly more of a sort of light-hearted episode, and you know, it gets to the time of year when you know things get a little bit tight in terms of the budget and money and stuff. So I thought, you know, what can we do to sort of lighten the spirits? And I thought, what would you do if you won the lottery? So this episode is entitled Lucky Numbers. And basically, I'm just going to explore what the guys would do if their lucky numbers came up. As normal, when I'm in the driver's seat, throw out a couple of questions, a couple of stats, just go through what my thoughts are. I've actually got a couple of sort of texts from my daughter, Amy, that she said I was fine to read out of what she would do if the lucky numbers came up. So first question then, obviously the UK has a national lottery. Do you know when it started?
94.
Ah, look at him. He's got Google.
He's done
Google.
The research. Someone's
prepared.
I was about to say, he comes across as unprepared at the start. Don't be fooled, folks. Don't be fooled. Don't be sucked in by that cheeky boy.
We'll see how we get some similar stats. That was the easy one. Yeah, it was. It was 1994, which sort of seems quite a long time ago now. And for those of you that listen in other countries, are there six different machines, are there, or something? So you get basically six different types of machines that and six different names of lottery ball numbers. And when it first started, it was massive in the UK. So everybody sort of tuned into the first one. It's broadcast live, and it's not so much now. I don't know whether it is actually sort of broadcast by TV. I know you can get the numbers later on at night, but don't know whether or not necessarily they actually show the balls being drawn or not. I'm not sure. So 1994. So I'm not sure what you were doing in 1994. What was I? 20, 21, was it? Something like that?
We were at university. I can actually remember us sat at the back of a law lecture talking about that. Yeah, to be honest, it was a rarity we were there. So, you know, us not actually paying any attention talking about that. That's not all that unusual at all. I can remember it. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
Andy? I was just going to say, I was at primary school.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, my God. Now I feel old.
I was 10.
That makes me feel incredibly old. Wow. That does put things into perspective. Okay, so 1994, yeah, obviously things have come along where then prices of various goods and stuff have sort of exploded. And I know, obviously, I've done a bit of research and stuff, so I know what the biggest win is, and I know the pitfalls and all that. So my first question is, and it relates to a first, what would be the first thing that you do if your numbers came up? So what would you do? So you're sitting there on a Saturday night, whatever, you've got your ticket in front of you, or a Tuesday night, or a Wednesday night, or a Friday night, or whatever night it is that you play, because obviously there's lots of different types. So what would be the first thing that you would do then? What would you do?
Can I just ask for clarification on this one, right? Yeah, because you said this is going to be a light-hearted episode. The last time we had a discussion about this, we'd had a few beers and it got a bit leery. So are we going to assume for this we're talking like Euro Millions, like it is tonight, as it's like 140 million, something like that? Right, because you know, we got very deep into the nitty gritty of what constitutes a big win and what doesn't last time.
If you want tonight's Euro Millions, which is 140 odd million, so effectively a massively life changing amount of money. I'm not talking like, half a million, which would still be great, but can you live off that? Can you not live off that? And all that stuff. So we're talking about a massively substantial amount of money. So what would be the first thing that you would do?
First thing I'd do would be to quit my job. As much as I love it and I love the people there, I would do, not this one, the regular gimmick job, that one, and then pay off the mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
boring, but yeah.
So that, would you do that straight away? You see, for me, I'd be like checking the ticket. I'd be ringing the number, and then it'd be like, right, the following day, what would you do? Because actually, it sort of takes 2 or 3 days, and there is a big process that you have to go through. It, you know, there is a process. So I was doing a bit of reading on this, and what they do is you phone the claim line, and then, if you think you are a jackpot winner, what happens is they then put you through to one of their sort of jackpot team, who then ring you back quite quickly and arrange a meeting. And this is literally is the next day. If you're available the next day, they will come to your house the next day. And they sit you down, and they said generally lots of people ask lots of questions. And I was reading an article about a guy that does this for a living. And he was saying that they turn up with their computer and their software ready to verify all the ticket and stuff. And he said he went to one place and he said it was something like 7 or 8 hours of questions that these people just fired at this bloke. He said he hadn't even opened his laptop yet to verify it. And they just kept firing these questions. Obviously, they were dead hyper and stuff. So, but yeah, they sort of come to you the day after and they sort of verify it. And then they said it goes into your bank. But actually what happens is they set up an account with your banks. If it's Barclays, HSBC, other banks are available, whatever. They basically set up an account and it's normally in their a sort of side bit of their business that is used to dealing with like big amounts of money. So it's not your normal standard account that it will go into. It's like a special account that gets opened. You can then do that what you want down the line, but it effectively goes into, and literally it is a back transfer, for want of a better term. You know, one minute you've got like no money in it, and the next minute you've got £149 million in it, or whatever it is. Awesome. So Andy, what would you do then? What would the first thing you'd do? What would you think?
Have a beer.
You see, that's what I'd probably. And it's weird because, and without painting quite a bad picture, you know, we sort of said years ago, you know, if we were, oh my God, I'd run around the garden with no clothes on, or I'd like streak down the street shouting at the top of my voice and stuff. But I'm probably a bit old and fat and for that now. So I'd probably like, just like Andy said, probably make sure you've got those numbers right, double check, triple check, have a beer. And then probably
that money's in my account. Yeah. And then I'd be like, right.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, oh, the fingers will be coming out.
Because Jenny was like, yeah. Jenny said that. She was like, I wouldn't do anything until I knew the money was there, until I could go to the bank. Can you imagine going to the bank, though, and actually getting like a printout statement of that account and be like, your balance is, and you just see that 149 and all those zeros, and you're like, woo! You know what I mean? But yeah, so I definitely would. As much as I really enjoy my job now, I think I would be penning that letter. And I think I know the answer to this, and I know from Ad because he's just said, Andy, would you carry on working or would you quit?
I'd start my own business.
I've
always wanted to own a bar, so I'd probably go down that route of planning that sort of aspect.
Yeah,
and also building my own house and stuff like that.
Because it's weird, because like loads of people are like, oh, I wouldn't quit work, I wouldn't stop what I'm doing. Excuse my French, bullshit, would you? Like, I don't know anybody that... Now, it might be that you might work. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You might do something, but that might constitute either sort of charity work or create your own, set up your own business or whatever. But I genuinely don't think if you won £149 million, you would still be doing the same job that you are doing now. I don't know hardly anybody that would say that they would do that. Pretty much, I think most people that I know that I've spoken to would say, yeah, I just quit. But they might do something, you know, you might go off and, you know, write a novel or try and plan a decent podcast or whatever. You know what I mean? You might do something, but
we already do that.
Oh, yeah, correct. Yeah. Why have you written a novel? but yeah, I don't think people. Well, I might be doing people a disservice, and there might be some people out there that absolutely love their job. And obviously, as we always say, if there are any listeners, any viewers out there that genuinely think that they would remain in the job that they're in, please get in touch, let us know. I'm happy to be sort of corrected on that. But I know for a fact, as much as I enjoy my job, I don't think I would. You say you'd set up your own business, Andy. So what type of bar would it be then? Have you thought about this a lot, or is this just something that...
Yeah, every day.
a Belgian craft beer bar with basically meat on the menu. That's pretty much what it'd be.
Well, it depends on where I live. So I've always thought of just, you know, buying a pub in the countryside and living in it and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, where would you live then? There you go. So where would you live?
Cornwall's always been a big thing, but or Canada, but Cornwall
or Monaco or wherever.
Nah, I'd probably go. If it happened like now, I'd probably go to the Peak District, somewhere like miles away from everyone. Get a house built on a bit of land and stuff like that. Then I'd probably just have a bar in a city centre or something like that. And there's a lot of bars, obviously, like Belgian bars and stuff like that. But like I'd speak to like the Delirium people or something like that, because there's not a Delirium bar in the UK. So
okay.
maybe they do a franchise. I don't know, but just do that. Go and. They don't do food, but they just do like nibbles and stuff like that. And,
yeah, like a snack menu type thing.
Yeah, I'll just do that, then just sitting there all day.
Drinking. And then die at the age of 40. And what? So would you, I mean, yeah, you obviously said you would pen the letter, the old resignation letter to your work sort of thing. What might you do after that then? What would you consider sort of doing after that?
Well, to be honest with you, same as Andy, I think you'd have to be, you know, I'd have to work for myself. So something I've thought about doing anyway, not really sort of seeing the right opportunity or the right idea. Something that Kim wants us to do at some point in the future. what that's going to be, I don't know. For myself, it probably would be beer again, but having that had in on a couple of weeks back,
I'm
buoyed with confidence that we could open a brewery and do a good job at that one.
Yeah,
not really. Nice. I'll get someone else in.
Get someone else to get him to do it. Just get him to do it.
But yeah, I similar sort of thing to Andy. I think a brewery with a tasting room. I don't think I'd move. I'm quite happy in Allsager. It's a nice little town.
I think
a brewery and a tasting room would go quite nicely there.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the trip around the world, sampling all the different beers of the world, just so that you could get the exact mix of flavours would be, that would be nice.
Yeah, I text the wife from the airport saying, back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm off. See you later. So we've sort of said what would be the first thing that you do then. So the money's in your account. You've treated yourself. You've got these sort of grandiose ideas about owning a bar and own brewery and stuff. But let's strip that back. What would be the first thing that you would buy? So knowing that money is in your account, you've got £149 million in your account. And I don't mean for anybody else, because that's another question down the line. But for you, knowing that you had £149 million in the bank, what would be the first thing you'd buy? And Andy, you can't say a bottle of Duvel or Delirium or anything like that. So what would it be? What would be the thing that you say, I'm going to treat myself, or I've always wanted one of them, I'm going to get it?
I don't know, because I can't even decide on if obviously I'd buy like a supercar. But
yeah,
I wouldn't know what one or anything like that. So first purchase.
It would be a car, but would you go down, when we did the car episode, would it be an American muscle car, like a Dodge type thing? Would you go down that route, or would it be...
That would be down the line, I think. I think straight away, I'd probably... There's a Lamborghini garage in Stockport, if I can fit in one.
Fold yourself in. Just like that. There you go, sir. Cash.
I think it was convertible. You'd be fine. Oh, yeah.
Be like Hulk Hogan in that hot film, was it? When he rips the seats out and stuff.
Yeah. And what about yourself? And what would be the first sort of purchase?
It's a tough one, because I'm not a guy who wants for a lot, to be honest. And that's not to say I've got a lot. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah, I don't want anything. I've got everything.
If you're thinking about burgling me, you're wasting your time. But unless you want a microphone, yeah, I've got plenty of them. I don't know. It probably would be a car.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be a supercar. Like we said when we did that episode. Growing up, I loved the Ferrari Testarossa. As an Italian supercar, fantastic looking car. I even want to see it now, it still gives me the chills. I think it's a great looking car, but I know it's all my size. And I say my bad, probably actually, no, forget it. I get new knees so I can get in a supercar.
Forget everything else. I'm just going to go down. I'll just go down and get a brand new body. That's all I want.
Oh, to be fair, I think it's probably what the wife would request.
I don't know. I mean, obviously the obvious answer is, you go and buy a car, wouldn't you? As you said, Andy, you'd rock up going to sort of to Wimslow, Alderley Edge, Knutsford, and you'd go into like your garages and you'd be like, yes, please, I will have that. Thank you very much. And your test drive and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? So I think a car is pretty standard on people's sort of quite high list. All right, but I'd mention it then. So what would you buy your sort of wife, stroke fiance, stroke partner, stroke girlfriend? What would be the first thing you'd buy them then? Because I'd sort of
tell them.
Well, you don't. I was reading about this. And again, I was reading about this, and they were saying if you're married, basically, do you have to tell your wife or husband if you have a ticket? No, you don't. Because effectively, it's something to do with effectively the signatory of the owner of the ticket is the person that purchased or bought the ticket effectively. So if I bought the ticket, and I suppose, and I didn't look into it in as much detail as, well, if the money came from a joint account, does that mean there's joint ownership or anything like that? But basically, when you read it through, it says, actually, you don't have to tell them. So if you did want to keep it secret and just on the side, have your own little sort of bar on the side without them knowing, fair enough, I suppose. But I'm pretty sure it did say that you don't have to, and you can, you don't have to declare it. So, but obviously there's there's lots of horror stories about people that won loads of money and then ended up divorcing or whatever, and partners and wives sort of wanting half of it and going, taking half of it and stuff. So
I was going to say, there's a story of a guy, we won't get into it today because we'll be there all day, but he won the lottery like 10 years after they got divorced, and she tried to sue him for half and stuff. And I think she did win quite a sum.
Wow. There
was more involved, like
more to it, that yeah like
childcare or something like that.
Yeah, I suppose if the child's born, maybe does that mean like sort of, you know, you can claim all half of future earnings or whatever? I don't know. So what would be the first thing you'd buy, add then? What would be the first thing you'd buy, Kim, then? What would it be?
Well, truth be told, we do have a joint account, and but it is me, because obviously I manage a shop which has a lottery terminal in it, so it's me who gets the lottery. But literally, I get that ticket and I chuck it on the side of her bed. Like, she checks the lottery, so she could, it would be whether she chose to tell me would be the honest truth. But yeah, would I buy her anything? I don't think so. I think, and that I don't mean that nastily. It's just, you know, we do literally sort of share everything, so it would be a case of, you know, trust me, she'd have it planned out. She'd have it, like, literally before we came on. Obviously, bear in mind that time that heated debate we had about whether, you know, we talked about if you won 2 million, and I said, well, I'll probably carry on working and yada yada yada, and everything got carried away after that. But she's literally said tonight when you go on there, I said, listen, let's make it clear, if you start on any of that kind of nonsense, tell them I'd be buying myself a hot tub. Okay. So a hot tub, I guess, would be the answer.
So hot tub. So Andy, then what about for Amy then? What would be the thing that you, the first thing that you buy Amy then?
I don't know. Maybe a dog.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, the most random answer to any question.
Well, I wouldn't be any. Like I'm in the same boat as Ad, where just like, I just walk in with like a grin on my face going, yeah, what's this? And then,
and then show the lottery ticket. Never get this.
King of the castle.
Yeah. I don't know. We've not really discussed like the details of shit like that, but I think, I don't know, I'd probably buy just a dog. They're that expensive, you need a lottery for.
It's weird, because for me, it'd be like, it would probably be like a piece of jewellery, it'd be like a ring or a necklace or something like that, you know, going by just like a nice, and not one of these like massively sort of overstated ones that are like fucking massive and stuff, but just a
giant, you know, cock.
Just like a proper night, like real sort of sleek, elegant, but you can tell that it's like, it's worth, and not over the top and overstated and, you know, strolling around like with loads of bling on and stuff. None of that, but it probably would be like a jewelry, maybe a ring or something like that. I think that'd be the first thing for Jenny. But as you said, Ed, I think what would happen is that you'd end up going back buying things sort of together, wouldn't you? You'd end up going out. It'd be like, right, what do we want? What do we, you know, because Jenny would be like, well, obviously, if we're 149 million, you think, well, we might move house, stay local to Allsage, but maybe move house and get sort of a bit of land or whatever. But it'd be like, oh, we need this for the house, we need that for the house, I want to do this. So you'd probably end up spending like quite, like, you'd go out and shop together, wouldn't you? I don't think you'd go out in like massively secret, would you? And so, oh, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy this. I think, right, you know, with 149 million, you're like, right, you go and choose your Aston Martin, I'll go over there and choose my Bentley or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, there you go, sort of meet in the middle somewhere. But I think for me, it probably would be a sort of piece of jewellery, maybe, like I say, a nice ring or something. Okay, then, so I'll just read out, because it's probably app time. So my daughter, Amy, said, I said, so what would you buy then? She said, I'd go to TGI's and buy every single thing on the food and drinks menu, even if I didn't want it. I'd then go to Alton Towers and buy every single fast track pass available so I can get on the rides.
In the same day.
Yeah, she said, I'll go to London and stay in the poshest hotel and absolutely take the mick, like order 10 burgers on room service and only eat one of them. Random. Go shopping, go and get some Harry Styles tickets, yeah, whatever. Get my hair and teeth done and then pay for us all to go on a holiday to the Maldives. Oh, so we do feature in there somewhere. That'd be nice, you know what I mean? Oh, thanks, Amy, sort of
just
thing.
The holiday.
Just a holiday. Although she did then send me text saying, yeah, but you and Mum can just have standard rooms and me and Abby are having the most expensive suite in the hotel. That, thanks very much. So, yeah, go to TGI's and just buy everything on the menu and just not even bother. Which
she's learning from you then in a hotel booking.
Yeah, if it's just me, double room is fine. You boys can have singles. It's fine. It's not a problem. And I think we sort of touched on this. And one of the things that Amy mentioned there, obviously, was sort of Maldives and stuff. So where would you go then? I know we talked about bucket list holidays and stuff, and you can sort of segue back into that episode if you want, but where would be the first place? And you've got £149 million in the bank. It's in your account. It's there. And effectively, you're on teletext, and you're like, right, where do we go? And you're looking for those magic little, would it be a winter? I mean, obviously, if we won it now, it might be a winter holiday type thing, but would you go for some summer sun, go more southern hemisphere? Or what? Where would you go? You can't have Vegas.
One of the places we plan to go is, I know it was somewhere you went, I don't know if it was last year before actually, now it'd be year before, I think, when you Disneyland.
We want to
take the kids to Florida and to Disneyland. So I mean, I think that's something I plan on doing anyway, so I'll probably just bump that trip forward a little bit. Failing that, I don't know. Obviously, you know, I love America.
Yeah.
Love New York, love to visit Oklahoma. I loved, when we talked about the Cars episode, that idea's been pottering around this little brain of mine for a while now. And the thought of just getting a car and doing Route 66, that might just get bumped up as well a little bit forward.
Yeah. Andy, what about yourself then? Where would it be? What would you do?
I'd probably just go. This might surprise you. I'd go somewhere in the Med, like Greece or Italy or somewhere, just a quick last minute holiday. I'll sit in the shade and Mrs. sit in the sun.
You'll sit in the shade drinking the most expensive Belgian beer you can find. Amy's just now being a sun goddess.
I thought then when he said this might surprise you, Cleethorpes.
Nothing that there's anything wrong with Cleethorpes. No. If there's any listeners in Cleethorpes, then I wholeheartedly apologise for Adam's slip there. But, you know,
funnily enough,
there are worse places such as Bognor. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
This time last year, I was in Cancun in Mexico. And
yeah
you
I just
were,
sat, in the, sat in the pool, in like an adults-only pool sort of thing. Sat there like a Buddha, just getting like, drinks brought to me every 2 minutes and stuff. The woman there was just like trying to get us leathered. She's like, I was literally like, I had a sip of it. She's like, you want another drink? It's 2 for 1. I'm like, I'm not paying anyway. What are you doing?
Yeah, look at the wristband. Look at the wristband. All inclusive. Look. We did that.
JD and Coke's in like 9 a.m. and stuff like that. I was like, oh, let's calm down now.
Yeah, after going to the lighter stuff in the afternoon, it's like, throw me some cocktails over this way. I think it's somewhere that we've always wanted to go, and I know one of our friends has been actually. I think so. The little chef went and would be Lapland. So I'd love to take the girls. And particularly this time of year, I'd love to take the girls to Lapland. So it might be a sort of bit of a last minute sort of can we? And I know obviously with COVID restrictions and all that, it's unlikely. But I think everything being equal, it will be like jump on a last minute flight, get over to Lapland, and go see the big man.
In a day, don't they do day trips or something like that?
Because I think Craig,
don't you?
I think so. But I think Craig did it for, did he do 2 days? Did they stay over one night, was it, or something maybe?
I'm sure he stayed there for a while, but they also do one where you stay in the ice hotel, so they build that temporary ice hotel. You know, if money wasn't an object, that'd be something you'd have to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is, well, you could do something like that, but then obviously as you go further north and stuff, you could see obviously all of the Aurora Borealis and you could see the Northern Lights and stuff. Can you imagine like lying out, just like seeing, I mean, that would be like pretty idyllic. And then you just get in a nice hot tub and you're just drinking like beer and stuff in a lovely hot tub. It'd be fantastic.
I think Andy saw the Aurora Borealis when he was in Mexico. all those Jack and Cokes.
That's heat stroke.
I think it was hot when we went there. But I think that would probably be one place that, and we always said when the kids were young, we'd quite like to take them. We've never gone. Obviously, Amy's 15 now, Abby 13. So it's not unlikely, but it's getting less and less likely that we will probably go to Lapland because it'll probably get too big and stuff. And I suppose the only next time would be obviously if to get married and have kids themselves, that maybe you would then sort of take their old grandparents sort of with them as such. But so I think if we had money, I think it would be that now. definitely think Latvan will be one place. Okay, then, a couple of stats for you then, or a couple of stats, and obviously Andy's been on a little bit of the old research here, so let's see whether he knows this one. What was the biggest UK lottery win then? Do you know? Not necessarily the biggest UK winner, because actually there's been a UK winner of the Euro Millions, but in terms of the UK lottery, what's the biggest win?
Euro one's like 160 odd million, isn't it? Or something stupid like
so
that.
It's close to, it's a little bit higher than that actually, but yeah. So what? Okay. But what would be the biggest UK one then?
It's 70 odd million.
Is it upwards of that? Gee, upwards. 90.
Way upwards of that. Keep going, dude. Way higher than that.
100.
Way higher.
140.
Higher. 161 million.
Oh, wow.
So it was in 2011, and it must have been, I don't know whether it's pre when they actually decided just to cap it at a certain level. The biggest UK lottery win, 161 million pounds.
Insane.
I know. I mean, nice you can get it. Okay, so.
Isn't it now last 12 million or? It's dead low now, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
because that's why everyone does all the Euros.
Well, originally, there was only what is now called Lotto, wasn't it? That was it. So there was no Euro Millions, there was no Thunderball, there was no. So obviously, everybody just went, right, I'm buying those tickets. And you were getting like 10, 12 million a week, like jackpots, and obviously, if they roll over and stuff. And now it's like, if the jackpot's won, like the fault, like on the Wednesday, it's like 2.5 million, 3 million, or whatever, because obviously lots of people, and you've now got like the health lottery and all these other sorts of things that are going on. So, so the biggest UK winner of a lottery win then, and I'll give you a clue, it's a little bit higher than the UK one, effectively. So basically the UK one was just a UK lottery, but there was a UK winner of the Euro Millions. So do you know how much they won?
That was 160, wasn't it? 162?
Or? Bit high, 170 million. And that was October, the 8th of October 2019. And the thing about that was they didn't claim it for ages. So literally they didn't claim it. And there was all this big news press about, like, you know, can you locate this person? It's a UK winner. This ticket is worth this. And eventually they did claim it, but it wasn't until like sort of weeks after. But yeah, it was 170 million pounds. They won on the Euro Millions, which is just insane, isn't it? It's absolutely insane. However, sort of pales into insignificance when you look at what's the biggest worldwide lottery win.
I think the Powerball in the States goes over a billion, doesn't it? It gets ridiculous, like 1.5 billion, isn't it? Sometimes it's been up.
Yeah, you're right, Ad. Yeah. So it's one. So the biggest jackpot was $1.586 billion, and now that was split three ways. So effectively, there were three winning tickets.
I wouldn't even bother picking it up.
That. I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. But I mean, that's just insane. $1.58 billion. I mean, really? Come on. Well, I mean, you go from like nobody to like Forbes rich list just because you've got this little bit of paper, and you know, it's just staggering.
I saw a video on Instagram today or yesterday where someone said like the scale of a million to a billion, and they're saying if you wanted to have like a million, someone would have to pay you $5,000 every day for like say 400 days or whatever it was. But if you wanted to be a billionaire, it was like 400 odd like years or something like that.
Yeah,
that's how big a billion is.
Yeah. Well, I know that I can't remember when it was, but I know we changed. I don't know if we've had this discussion before, but we changed from a billion being a million to 1,000 million, isn't it? Because we took the American lead on that. So I think a billion is 1,000 million.
That's right.
And it's just like a staggeringly large figure. Okay, so what's the single biggest worldwide winner then? So obviously you know that 1.586 billion was split three ways. So what was the biggest single winner of American pound?
Are you going to say then that it was more than the 533 million that those people picked up, whatever it worked out when you split it three ways?
Yeah, it's more than that, yeah.
Wow.
1.5 billion?
Yes, Andy, well done, because I've just seen your face light up.
$1 billion.
Yeah, so basically there was a winner, and it was $1.537 billion which is obviously just slightly less than the biggest ever jackpot, and one person won it. There was one winning ticket. And I didn't realise this, but in America, you get taxed sort of quite heavily on state lotteries and that sort of stuff. And the way they work it is you can have a 30-year annuity. So basically you get X value every year for a 30-year period, or you can have it all in one lump sum. And this person decided to take it in one lump sum. And it worked out at $878 million. It's all right if you can get it.
Yeah, you might as well. You're still going to be better off than you were before, even having lost most of it in tax.
But yeah, but so basically, yeah, so 1.53 billion. And they said that there was like 7% national tax, and then it was something like 30-odd% state tax or 27% state tax or something. But basically, what they claimed and what they then banked into their account was $878 million, which is just like an obscene amount of money. I mean, for me, and I don't know what your thoughts are, surely that's too big for like one person. So why not make 800 people millionaires? Would that not be... No, and give it to me. Give it all to me. Do you not think there should be a cap?
For me, it's like, if you're going to... You know, we talked earlier, if you won the Euro Million, it's like, it was, you know, as it is tonight, it's 140 million or whatever. It's about the same as winning 800, because you're never going to spend that. You're never going to get through it. And I guess, like you say, you could make 800 people a millionaire, but what you're really doing is securing your kids and their kids and their kids' future, unless you get one rogue one in there that decides to do.
The old black sheep of the family.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, ultimately, you're securing your offspring's future for a long, long time with that kind of stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. But maybe don't cap it at a million, but maybe cap it at 20 million. Or, you know, or because to the layman, so to any one of us three, you know, we're three guys in the UK, normal sort of normal guys, normal jobs. If someone said there's 20 million, that's more than enough for me to secure my kids' future, my kids' kids' future, my kids' 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 future. You know, that's more than enough. So when you start looking at it, you think, well, actually, should you cap it at 20 million? And therefore, if it gets up to £100 million jackpot, you've got five people winning 20 million or whatever. You know, should the level of payouts almost scaffold down? And I don't know. At what point does it just become an obscene amount of money?
Or alternative, do you just cap it at a certain amount so you can win 20 million and the rest just goes to charity?
Yeah.
You know?
Or do you turn... It does go to charity, though, and not...
Yeah,
people, I mean, that for charities.
Well, and that's that, like I say, that is the danger when you actually look at what people who manage charities actually earn and then take out the money.
Yeah,
you
know,
you're handing that money into that bucket, yes, he's going to pay somebody's bloody wages half the time.
I wonder whether or not, you know, if you win the jackpot at 20 million, if the jackpot actually is 100 million, of which you can only win 20, that's 80 million. Should that not then feed down to those people that got, instead of getting all six numbers, they've got five and a bonus? And instead of them winning 100 grand, they then win.
It does now, doesn't it, in the UK lottery? If you get, when it hits that maximum point,
I think so, yeah.
I know when we've cast it out, normally if you get three numbers, is it 25 quid?
25
quid. Yeah, we've had people turn up expecting to get 25 quid before and going home with 100 and being absolutely delighted.
Yeah, because that's what's happened. And I think the UK have done that. Obviously, other countries might not, but I think they have now done that, haven't they? They said, right, actually, I think they've said it's capped. No, I don't know. I think what it is, Ad, I don't think they capped the jackpot. I think what they say is it has to be won. So what they said, so let's say it gets to 100 million, and it says, right, that has to be won tonight. So even if there's no jackpot winner, that 100 million will then roll down.
Cascaded down,
and it cascades down. So I think that's probably... maybe where that's come from. Now you'll hope that you're not this guy. What's the biggest unclaimed lottery ticket?
Well, I don't think I want to know this one, just in case I am that guy.
The biggest unclaimed lottery win.
Oh, dude. Whoever he is, I feel sorry for him already.
77.1 million.
Are you serious?
I'm not shitting you. There was somebody out there and they had a ticket because obviously Camelot have, you know, they can say, well, actually, there's one winning ticket or two winning tickets. There was a winning ticket that was worth 77.1 million.
Well, and
it went unclaimed.
They'll also know where it was bought as well.
Yeah, they do. They know it was in and around the Hertfordshire area.
Oh, well, so they said it was bought. Hertfordshire.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that's oh my god, where are all tickets? But you actually only get 180 days to claim it. So you get up. So in the UK, 180 days, and they said in the Hertfordshire area there was a ticket that was worth 77.1 million unclaimed, and basically after day 180, so on the 181st day, that 77 million goes into the good funds. You know, that for good charities and good causes and stuff. Seriously, 77 million.
So if that if that dude was playing chicken like the other one, it took all those days to. I'm here for it. I've got some bad news for you, brother.
Yeah, you're a day late. You're like, but I mean, why would you? And I sort of get why you might forget, but you buy a ticket, but surely you then check it, because that's the whole point of buying a ticket, to actually check to see whether you've won it.
Maybe got destroyed, like left it in the pocket when it got washed or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I know there's a story about a guy who he bought a lottery ticket, and then it was in his white van. He was a builder, and he put it in his white van, and it was like on the, you know, it was on the dash or whatever. And he was driving around with it for a period of time. I think it's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever. And then thought, oh, I've got a lottery ticket, and checked, and actually he had won the jackpot, and it was worth like multi million. And he literally been driving around with it for weeks, just on his dash. Just, you know what I mean? He's just like, can you imagine the earache that your missus would give you, gang? Seriously? Like, it actually doesn't bear thinking about. But yeah, $77.1 million unclaimed ticket. But they reckon that, like, over the years, there's so many prizes that just don't get claimed. People don't realise that you can claim like smaller prizes, or just don't bother. And I know a lot of it now is done online and stuff. And like I buy mine direct debit. So I get like an email that says like, well done, you've won a lucky dip or whatever.
I'd be livid if I didn't pick that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, well, actually you can't pick it. It says, you've won a lucky dip. Congratulations, your lucky dip will be placed on Saturday's lotto. You're like, all right, thanks. So they basically give you another ticket for the next one, sort of thing. But yeah, so I mean, obviously a lot of it's done, you know, online and stuff now, and a lot of it's done sort of automated, but yeah, you'd be pretty hacked off. I mean, obviously you'll never know that, you know, the guy that had that 77 million, he doesn't know he's lost that, but
oh yeah, you've got to hope so. You've got to hope he isn't one he realized 6 months later, you know. Yeah, that's a horror story. Mind you, I suppose you could sell that story to take a break, couldn't you, and make yourself a couple of quid.
Yeah, not 77 million though, dude.
No. I don't think loose women don't pay that well.
Well, you say, do you mean loose women the program? Maybe not, but you know, that's a whole different podcast.
That is another podcast.
But I mean, can you imagine they're looking, so finding your ticket and seeing the date, and it's like 6 months out of date? You just wouldn't check, would you? You just wouldn't go online and check those numbers, because you just know that even if you saw them, you know, can you imagine? I mean, that'd just be horrendous. Yes. But right, so what are the odds of winning the lottery then? What are the odds? Do you know?
I probably could have told you before, but they've added an extra few numbers, haven't they, now? Because it used to be 1 to 49, which was that roughly something like 1 in 56 million? So I'm going to guess 1 in 70 million.
It's not quite. It was 1 in 13.5 million, oh, but then they introduced the next, was it 10 numbers or whatever it was? And it's now, the actual chances of the normal lotto is 1 in 45 million.
If my lottery rep is watching this, he'll be thinking, oh, bloody idiot, I knew he wasn't listening when it.
And then the Euro Millions. So the Euro Millions is 1 in 139 million. Because obviously there must be, do you need more numbers and more bonus balls or something, more combination of them or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's seven numbers, isn't it? And there's two bonus balls and five others, but they're higher as well.
So they said it's like, yeah, so 1 in 139 million. Actually, when you look at statistically, the best one, the chance you've got the most of winning on is the Thunderball one. And I can't remember what it is. That's quite low.
One of the shops that I managed, actually, we had somebody buy a ticket in there that won the Thunderbolt, which was it 250,000?
I think something like that,
yeah. We sold a winning Thunderbolt ticket, won 250,000, and we sold a winning scratch card that won 250,000 as well. Oh. Within about 18 months of each other.
Wow, yeah. But yeah. And obviously, Thunderbolt, if you wanted to, the odds of winning the jackpot, Thunderbolt is the best one, but obviously the amount of jackpot that you win is obviously massively, massively reduced. Although when I was doing my research and the guy was saying, if you spent a tenner on the lottery a week, he said, if you invested that £10 and basically if you invested £10 a day and you got a 10% growth on that annually, or whatever, he said, after 30 years, you'd be sitting there with like, did he say like 300 grand or something? So literally, it's like, you know, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Because there are loads of people on that side, it's not worth it. Just put the tenner away. You know, if you were to be able to invest literally £10 every day.
What I will say, like I say, obviously, I balance off my figures every Sunday and I look at it, and I'm going to tell you now, I look at the amount we take on the lottery and I look at the amount of prizes, and it is vastly, vastly different. I ain't going to give those figures out. Ain't appropriate, but
I can imagine.
Trust me, people spend a lot more than they win by a comfortable margin.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And it's just that, I suppose you're buying that what if, aren't you? It's that just that chance, that what if. And you know, that's fair. Andy mentioned earlier about his wanting to sort of open up a business and open up his own business. And I thought about, and this is meant to be quite a lighthearted sort of episode, but I did. There are some absolute horror stories out there of people who won the lottery. And there was one, and I've got it in my notes, but I won't mention his name in case he's sort of listening. And he won the lottery, and he won £9.5 million, and within 3 years it was gone, and he was filing for bankruptcy. I mean, you've got to have some poor decision making, surely.
Oh, the ones you read and you see on the front of the magazines or something, I won the lottery and it ruined my life. You just think, you're an idiot. You are an idiot.
No, you ruined your life. It wasn't a lottery. You ruined your life for the decisions you that you made. Life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always common causes for that, isn't there? Like, they have, like, friends that aren't friends, but then they'll just do, like, they'll go up the nose on it, pretty much, or...
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was saying.
Throw it and stuff.
I think it was an American article that I read, but they said 70% of lottery winners actually spend all of their money. And in terms of they spend it within their... You know, they don't invest it for kids, or they don't put it into property or whatever. So 70% of winning lotteries spend all of their money. So if you win 40 million, you spend personally 40 million of it, you know. And then they said 30% of lottery winners actually declare bankruptcy at some point in the future.
I can tell you this, and I can't mention the shop, but I went, obviously, you know, different. I work for a company. We manage different retail outlets. And I went to one where a member of staff had just left, having won, I think it was round about 960,000. And I worked at that store for 4 years. Managed that store for 4 years. And before I left, they'd been in and asked for their job back.
Yeah.
Because they'd got through all that amount of money within 4 years. And I thought. Yeah. Fair play to you.
Hell of a 4 years.
Yeah, well done. You've enjoyed yourself, but
hell of a 4 years. But they were saying that obviously lots of people they suffer with sort of alcoholism and drug dependency and effectively everything that they, you know, every desire they've ever wanted is effectively placed out in front of them. So there you go, you can come and get it. But yeah, 33% said that they actually declare bankruptcy at some point after their lottery win. And you're just like, wow. And the reason I say it was that there were quite a few people that mentioned about going into business and failed sort of business ventures and poor investments. It did mention a couple of people got ripped off by family members. And basically, like, family members come out of the woodwork and then, oh, come and sign up to this and invest in this. And actually, basically, they just get ripped off effectively. There were some sort of horror stories. Now, remember... years ago, I suppose the newspapers called him a lottery lout, and a bit like the lager lout. It was a lottery lout, and
anyone, Carol, was it?
I can't remember. And he won like 10 million or something. And quite a young chap. And then, you know, you see a photo of him and he's got like dolly birds on each arm and he's got like bottles of champagne. And did he charter like a helicopter or something or other? You just think, like, come on, dude. See? And then he, and I don't know how long it was afterwards, maybe 5-6 years after winning it or whatever, he basically went back to his job and it had all gone. I mean, like, hell of an existence for 5 years or whatever, but geez, I mean, come on.
I've read that story and he puts it all down to like his so-called friends and stuff. And it's like, just set limits for people. Say you'll give X people this amount and that's it. They spend it. That's their problem. But...
Okay. So would you do that then? So
just a second. Is that why Andy wants to go to Cornwall to get away from me and you dragging him down?
I'm just thinking about it. What's all that about? So would you be quite generous then, Andy? So would you?
Just in case. Because he's edging his back.
I think so. I'm a generous person anyway. I think friends and family would definitely get some of it.
Yeah. I think there are limits in terms of like what you can give people in terms of not being taxed or gift tax and all of that. But I suppose for 140 million, you don't really care, do you?
Yeah. I think close family and friends would get some of it. I'd probably be tighter on extended family and all that stuff because I don't speak to a lot of people. But luckily enough, I've got a small group. So
it's weird, isn't it? Because you sort of know, obviously, you know the people that are mates and you know the people that you've been mates with for years and you know the people that you've only been mates with for a couple of years or, you know, mates that you might think that actually if I won loads of money that would come out of the woodwork and stuff. So you see, I think I'd be relatively, I think I would be quite generous, certainly with sort of, you know, family and stuff. But, and I think mates as well, I think I would probably be pretty generous. I mean, if you won 149 million, you know what, and I'm not saying that you necessarily do this, but what's 50 grand out of 149 million? You know, you turn around and be able to write someone a check and go, there you go, put it in a, you know, like for Tiddy or for JJ or for, you know, there you go, there's a fund. Do you know what I mean? What's 50 grand out of, to me now, that's like 20 quid, 30 quid. You know, 50 grand out of 149 million is nothing, is it? You know, so I think I'll put...
Listen, before you start writing my kids' checks, they got more money in their account than me.
What I'd do, you see, you've got this back, because I'd write Tiddy and JJ something, put it in their account, and then say, right, you now have to look after your dad, and when your dad turns, you have to give him something. He's looked after you for all of those years. Now it's time to look after him.
What do you mean when he turns a certain age? Or
I'm on with that as well.
But no, you see, I think I probably not like, you know, not like stupidly, but I think I probably would be pretty generous, really. And obviously, you hear stories about these people that have obviously spent, and as you said, Andy, you know, you put down the stories to like friends and family and being over generous with gifts. And, you know, some of the gifts that you see what people have bought their family members. And one guy like chartered a, I think he said, he took like his extended family and chartered effectively Concorde and flew them to New York and this, that, and the other. And you're like, yeah, that's going to set you back couple of million straight away sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? There's obviously limits on what you'd sort of spend and what you wouldn't. Because surely you just put it in a fund. You'd just put it in a fund and just keep it there, wouldn't you?
You could live off the interest.
It's
crazy interest.
Well, not now, like 0% or whatever, but... Yeah. But yeah, well, like
banks would want your money. If you won 140 million, the banks would be... knocking at your door.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And in normal circumstances, you could live off the interest easily, couldn't you? You know, absolutely no problem with that. But it does get you thinking as to, you know, this, I suppose, is one of the last questions. If you won that much money, and I'm not suggesting for any one minute that you're not at this stage, would it make you happy if you won that money?
Yeah.
Because I know you talk about people saying, you know, is money the root of all evil and all that, and the famous sort of quote. Would it make you happy if you were able to buy all the things that you wanted and be able to do all the things that you wanted to do? Would it make you happy?
You wouldn't know unless you had it, I'd say. But the fact that you could pay your mortgage off and do whatever job you wanted to do, it opens a lot of doors, doesn't it? And if you've got a bucket list of what stuff you want to do, you could do it. You got a better chance of doing it and being happy yes. that way.
Yeah, I suppose the experiences that you could then go and do or whatever. Ad, what do you think?
Well, we're in danger of opening up a can of worms here, because this is one of the other things that we disagreed on, wasn't it? I'm not convinced that being able to buy anything that you want is going to make you any happier than you are now. Personally, am I happy? Yeah, I'm particularly happy with how my life's going. I can't grumble. I'm not, I've got no real disappointments. Would it make me happier? Well, it's certainly not. I don't worry about now whether I should or not is another matter. Whether my mortgage is going to get paid and that, I don't worry about it. But maybe, maybe that's just my general nature. Maybe I should, but I don't think about it. But I think one of the things I said last time around is that when we go and we face St. Peter and you lay down there on your deathbed, I don't think that you'll think about the things that you bought or the houses that you lived in or anything like that. I honestly think you'll think about the friendships that you had and the people that you met and the experiences you had with those people. And I think that's far richer.
I think you're right, but do you not think that being in a position to be able to create more memories with those people would that not embellish your relationship with them? And it's not false, because they're still, they are family, they're friends that you've had for years. They're not false friends, as I would call them, people that would come and, into your life and drift in because you've got the money. These are people that you've known for years. These are people that, are mates that you've had for years and stuff. Would it not? So for me, if I won loads of money,
just to answer that back there, dude. One thing struck me about, obviously we had this whole conversation where we'd had a few beers. Mm-hmm. One thing really, really struck me when you did that cars episode, that when you talked about your favorite cars and that, you two guys, and I'm not going to share around here, you both got very nice cars, but those weren't your favourite cars. Yours was an Aston Martigo that was worth about £300. Mine was a Volkswagen Polo, which is worth less.
Yeah, yeah.
No. It's irrelevant. It's the memories attached to that. The memories that you attach to that. And like, this is what I said to Kim, if you want a hot tub, go and buy yourself a hot tub now. As I'm saying, we can't afford one. Go get one. The fact that we haven't bought one means you don't want it that much. You'll buy it when cost isn't something you have to worry about.
So I'll throw this at you then. So, okay, and whether we could afford to do this, and I'm sure we probably could, whether it our sort of wives, girlfriends and stuff would think would be the best ways to spend our money. I said, right, imagine come in. Next time we get an NFL, right, we're going to get down there on the Saturday. We're going to get we're going to do the Wembley VIP. We're going to do sideline tickets. We're going to do this restaurant. We're still going to go around London and wrestle midgets and do all those sorts of things that we've done previously on NFL visits. But just that, having that ability just to, and not become snobbish or anything like that, but just be able to experience the things that allow you to create those memories with your mates, the people that you already are mates with. I think there's an element of, and yes, I'm happy and content and all of that, but just the ability to provide you with experiences and adventures and all of those things that you perhaps would love to do, like your bucket list, the places
We're going to do a bucket list podcast, aren't we, in a few weeks' time. Well, 2021 at some point. But I'm going to chuck you back to something that actually we mentioned a lot when we first started doing this podcast, despite the fact that none of us are big Star Trek fans. And that is Star Trek. And that's the Ferengi way of thinking. Our old buddy Tim from many, many years ago, who was a Ferengi. And there is a line of thought that actually, in some ways, it's better to want a thing than to actually have it, to actually want it and experience and look forward to having it than actually
the
having it.
The anticipation of having
it. Yeah, it's far, far better than the actual experience of having it in itself.
And you might be right, because, we've been down to the NFL, and I'll use the NFL as an example. We sit in the decent seats, but then you think, oh, those guys in the box or those guys in the VIP, or look at them, they're getting that. And I suppose it's that want, and it's the not something that you can't have, but I suppose it does that then make you think about what it could be, and that makes you salivate over it more. And actually, if you were to do it, would things become blasé? If you had 149 million, it'd be like, oh great, I'm gonna go to Lapland now. Well, great, because last week I was in Mexico and 2 weeks ago I was in New York, and
Have you ever done corporate at a football game?
No, but I've done it at cricket where it's all sort of all expenses and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the company I work for sponsored a couple of football games and we got to go corporate. I tell you what, I much more in being in the stands. A lot more fun than being up there, stuck in there, having a few beers, having a meal and having to wear a tie around your neck and talk to you people while you're getting fatter.
Because when we did it, when we did cricket, obviously it was a test match. So literally it's all day and you arrive there and you go in there and there's beer and then you open the fridge and there's more beer and then you look this side and there's like wine and all, you know, and literally it's like as much food and drink as you want and stuff and you get fed and watered throughout the day. But that's like, I suppose, a whole day, you know, and you were with people that you knew. It wasn't like you were with stuffy corporate people that you didn't really know or didn't, you know, there was a group of you that were there that you knew each other. And that was actually decent. But if you were able to do that all the time, would that water it down? Do you know what I'm saying? Would the experiences become watered down? And do you hold the experiences that you've had so high? Because actually, you know what? They are treasured because you can't do those things. Like when we took the kids to Florida, it was like just the most amazing holiday. And it was brilliant. And we said we'd love to go back in possibly next year or year after. But if we had been to the Grand Canyon 2 weeks before, and then we went to Florida, and then the kids knew that 2 weeks after we're going to go skiing in Aspen, or does it become diluted? Because that's what I'm saying. So do you then take those experiences for granted or not? And therefore, it doesn't make you happy because actually you end up just wanting for more, I suppose. I don't know. And I suppose that's why I asked it. I suppose a relatively sort of philosophical question is to do you think it would make you happy? And I don't know. I think I'd like to try to see whether it make me happy.
It'd be fun finding out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'll give it a go for a couple of years, and I might have a couple of years thinking, you know, I actually know it doesn't make me happy, but I've had a great 2 years.
If you asked me like 10 years ago, I'd be like, you know, if I had loads of money, I'd buy this, buy that. Now, I think I'm in a comfy position where, you know, like yourself, my mortgage is getting paid and all that sort of stuff, and Mrs. saying, oh, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm fortunate in that respect. But that's why I'd own a business just to keep myself occupied. Because within that, I'd have earned my own house with a gym, and I'd have a garage so I could work on the van and stuff like that. It's just ticking off stuff that I couldn't have now that I want. And that's why I'd like, I'll have a business, because then you're still getting involved in stuff. You're not... You know, you got the money and all that stuff, say, oh, I'd have to worry about it, but you want it to grow and get some achievement out of owning a bar that maybe comes a chain.
I think you've nailed it there, dude. It's that feeling that you've earned it. That's the important thing.
Exactly, yeah. But I wouldn't go on holiday every other week, though, so far.
No.
I don't like the sun anyway, so.
I think Gaz is frozen. Either that or he's doing the best statues game ever. So we'll pause it here just so we can get him back on, shall we?
He's just seen his lottery numbers.
Yeah, he's just done one.
So yeah, so I'm not sure whether or not, as I say, the having all that money would necessarily make you happy, but I'd like to think that I would enjoy the new experiences it would offer, as I say, whether that would get a little bit diluted or not, I'm not so sure. So, but yeah, coming up to the hour mark now, I'm not exactly sure how long we've been recording for. So, I've enjoyed tonight, guys. Enjoyed being in the driver's seat again, bit more of a lighthearted look, sort of explored, you know, what it would mean maybe to us, things that we'd do sort of money wise. And as always, we love sort of listener interaction. So, if we have anybody that's been lucky enough to win a lottery and is listening, it would be amazing to hear from you. What was the first things that you did? What was the first thing you went out and bought? Did it make you happy? If you're willing to come on and share your experiences with us, that'd be phenomenal. And if there's any other listeners out there, maybe sort of take umbrage with anything that we've said, you want to add anything, you know, what would you do? Then please get in touch with us, all the normal sort of social media outlets. Give us a download, give us a look, and give us a listen. And I think all that remains for me to ask two fellow hosts is, if you want to sort of say your final bit, guys, say your goodbyes.
Yeah, enjoy this one again. Like I say, quite a light-hearted one. The only thing I'd sign off and say is if you do win the lottery or you have won the lottery, keep TBR in mind, you know. You could pay for three guys to do nothing for a while.
Andy?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's always good to fantasize like what could happen down the line and all that stuff, and find out after Christmas whether one of us does.
Absolutely. And on that cliffhanger, I'll say episode 47, been great, guys. Look forward to episode number 48. Last thing for me to say, if you bought lottery tickets, all the best, and I hope your lucky numbers turn up for you. See you later, guys.
And visit tbrradio.com.